Imagine me and you calling Jake. We're calling Jake right on the phone. That's what we do.
Hello.
Good evening. Good evening.
Are we on or are we waiting to be on?
We're on. We came in on a song that I'm sure you can guess from the line, I knew that pill was lying too gregarious, too nice.
Mm-hmm.
That was our intro song.
Are you just doing a trivia contest?
No, a trivia contest with you as the sole participant.
Hmm. Would that song be Lie Still, Little Bottle?
It would indeed.
They Might Be Giants, 1988 offering Lincoln.
I can never remember what year any of those came out, so I always have to count backwards from Flood, or forwards from Flood.
Hmm. Was it 88?
Yeah, because then...
90, yeah. And then it was like every 2 years for a while, right? It was like 86 for the Pink Album, 88 for Lincoln, 90 for Flood, 92 for Apollo 18. And then they stopped being a band.
Then they released no more new material.
Effectively no more new material. I think that there are a handful of songs on their later stuff that I would miss if they didn't exist. But really, okay, John Henry's pretty good.
Yeah.
That was 94, right? I mean, I guess that counts. But everything after that, I feel like half of them were phoning it in half of the time.
Well, you can phone in half of the people half of the time.
That's the truth. Well, you know, I got this microphone and the old mixing board that we used to use over at the office until the switch thing broke, and I was trying to record some intro and transitional music for the podcast. Maybe we should do some of that while you're here. We could do some guitar and accordion duos.
You're thinking of just like 15-second flourishes, right?
Not even 15, like 5-second flourishes. Just like a single chord progression or whatever. Or a few variations on it, or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we can do that. Although, the problem that I'm having is that this old mixing board is having some problem. Whoa! What the hell was that?
Pardon our mess. That's how we opened...
It sounded like you just sneezed a slinky onto your mic.
That's how we opened bottles in the Knight household.
No, I just... By sneezing slinkies at them?
Yep. It takes a long time, but boy, is it worth it.
What you drinking?
Got a local microbrew, Liftbridge, Minnesota Tan.
Liftbridge? Is that like a drawbridge?
I guess. I can't really tell from the bottle. It may be that there's this bridge in Duluth where there are just two big, tall pillars on either side, and they lift the entire... Hi, everybody. Sorry about that. We had a power outage that was mercifully brief. The last time the power went out, earlier this week, it was out for 4 hours. I don't know what's happening, but I do know that I'm going to call Jake back, and we're going to do this because you can't keep... Jake and Skullhead down.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, that sucked.
I can imagine.
Just, yeah, your basic random power outage. It happened a couple of days ago, too.
And, you know, I don't remember the last time the power went out here. That's a distinct advantage of living in a place with no weather.
Yeah, well, this is, I think our power company just doesn't care about black people.
Mm.
They're also... digging up sidewalks and replacing them with more better sidewalks, so there's a possibility they might have hit something.
Are they replacing them with sidewalks that have electrical wires running underneath them?
Obviously not. Maybe they're pulling up sidewalks that have electricity running through them and then just saying, you know what? They'll be fine.
Sidewalks are those black, long things running between the poles?
Yeah. The squirrels walk on sideways.
Wait, the squirrels walk on them sideways?
Yeah, that's why they're called sidewalks.
Okay.
To keep their balance. Look, I tried to enter your world, and I didn't make it all the way there. It's just a shame that we hadn't built a full head of steam yet for the show, because then we could have just continued to operate it on the electric charisma that you and I generate together.
Yeah, we do. It's weird how electric that is.
It's electric boogie oogie oogie.
What were we talking about? We weren't even talking about anything yet.
No, we were still in our early, like, hey, it's us and their stuff.
What you What you drinking? You were drinking.
It's a beer. A thing that's ale fermented with lingonberry, so it takes a tastes a little bit like IKEA.
I think I prefer my ale fermented with yoni berry. Or Halle Berry.
Or Barry Goldwater.
I was at this cigar lounge place once, and there was this giant big screen TV in there, and like HBO was on, and Swordfish was playing, and this big group of guys like paused the DVR and rewound it and just freeze framed on the scene where you see Halle Berry's tits and just left it there.
That scene where you see Halle Berry's kind of busted, sagging titties? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know how much you hate black women with normal-sized tits.
Never has there been more of a titty build-up for a sadder...
Less of a titty payoff.
Right.
I wasn't aware that there was a build-up to that.
It was just everybody going, she's going to have her boobs out in Swordfish. It's going to happen. She's going to do it. And then it's like, oh... Those are not happy boobs. Those are sad boobs.
Mm. I wonder if she appeared in the video for the Dead Milkmen song, Swordfish. I don't think there was a video for that song.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at them now, and something ain't right.
About I mean, those they're boobs. they're just small, and she's laying on her back, right?
So I mean, she's sitting up, and they're
she should have been sunbathing standing. Yeah. Or she should have been sunbathing, hanging from hooks through the skin of her shoulders.
Just to lift them up a little. There's a weird thing that happens when women with small breasts don't wear a bra. I call it the Sarah Michelle Gellar effect, because if you watch all of Buffy, you'll notice the boobs just go lower and lower and lower. It's like they're little small boobs, but they start like at the bottom of the ribcage. Very strange. Huh.
I don't think I noticed that. I was watching the vampires and the martial arts. I don't know why you were into that show.
Vampires, martial arts, and migrating boobs. I did my PhD dissertation on migrating boobs.
Yeah. Your boobs are pretty grating.
Haha. Oh.
See, that was a joke about you being fat and a play on words.
That was clever. How's that working out for you, being clever?
Yeah, pretty good.
How's it working out for you, mindlessly referencing movies that are 15 years old?
Is that movie 15 years old?
I assume so. Pulp Fiction is. It seems like they came out about the same time.
Really? I think of Fight Club as being like a 2000-ish.
Mario is 25 years old today.
Crazy! Yeah. How old is the Super Mario Brothers Super Show?
I don't know. I know that Lou Albano is old enough to be dead.
That's true. Although, you know, some really unlucky babies are old enough to be dead.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's not really a set age. I wasn't going to bring the dead baby into it, but okay.
Do you see a sign in front of this show that says dead baby references?
You know, I never get hired for jobs that require me to have dead baby references.
Because they never call back.
Yeah. I was going to say they're really hard to get a hold of, and then that would have opened up another gross venue of talking about stuff.
We were trying to figure out some physical challenge in the frat house for the non-LARP thing that we're doing involving coat hangers. There were a lot of tasteless jokes made.
I'm sure.
Dude, bro, dude. You think you're going to be able to handle acting like a frat boy?
Yeah, I'll just get some lessons from Adam Dunn before I go.
Mm, I think you could just be yourself. There's a lot of gay spanking involved.
Huh. I wouldn't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You know, your sexual penchants are perfectly normal. Because I know when I see a girl's butt. The thing that I want to do is hit it with something.
No, we know that the thing that you want to do is avert your eyes and go, God, that's so lame. How could that chick be naked? No, I'm not saying normal, I'm saying hetero.
Oh. So you don't spank dudes? I'm pretty sure I've seen you spank a dude.
I don't spank dudes when I'm sober.
So you're only straight when you're sober?
Hey, baby, let's drink until I'm gay.
Hey, buddy, let's drink until I'm gay. Ah, boy. Remember that time you told me to keep drinking until I was nice?
Yep. And I have to thank you for that, because you then responded, why don't you keep drinking until you eat my ass? And eat my ass was such a great phrase that I've used it lots and lots since then.
See, I stopped because it's totally juvenile. It's puerile. It's jejune.
Jejune. So would you say eat a bag of dicks, or would you say consume a parcel of male genitalia?
A parcel? Like a brown paper package wrapped up with string?
Like, if you were a parcel tongue, that would just mean that you like to lick dicks in a bag.
But a bag isn't really a parcel.
It can be a parcel if it's... What, if it has tape around it? Would it make it a parcel?
Yeah, I guess maybe. I don't know. I think of a parcel as more like a box than a bag, but I guess a brown, like a plain brown wrapper is kind of a sheet that's been made into a bag and then has tape on it.
Right. I think of the, like, wrapped in brown paper and then tied with twine.
Or jute.
Yeah. Jute.
I got some jute for my birthday last year, and I was really excited about it, and I've lost it. I also got the cure for the plague of the 20th century for my birthday last year, and I've lost it!
You lost it? It's a shame, because you could have made a suit out of it and had a jute suit riot.
Mm-hmm. A jute suit would be really uncomfortable. It would be like a hair shirt.
Yeah.
Do you know what the deal is with a hair shirt?
Yes.
Was that like a thing that you wore as like a religious penance, or was it a thing that you wore because you were being tortured?
A religious penance.
Okay. That's the whole story.
Pretty sure. If you wanted to win any religious penance, not only did you have to play baseball really well for the Catholic Church's league, but yeah. There's also a really good Bare Naked Ladies song about hair shirts.
Oh yeah, there's an REM song called Hair Shirt. It's on Green, which also came out in 1986. Or maybe it was 84. I don't remember. Man, I'm good at finding music years later. Years after it'd be cool.
Okay, that's kind of disturbing. Wikipedia says, has a reference to even modern metal hair shirts do not blah blah blah. It's like, wow, so that's something that still happens?
Wearing a hair shirt is pretty metal.
It's too metal for one hand.
I hear the members of GWAR always wear hair shirts underneath their giant beast costumes.
Yeah, now they just make them out of metal that have little spikes on the inside of them.
That's horrible.
Like little chain link. They're like wearing a barbed wire fence on your whole shirt part. Although, you know, modern ones don't draw blood, so that's good.
Did old ones draw blood?
Yeah, this just says that the one that the guy wears in the Da Vinci Code draws blood. And we all know that the Da Vinci Code was totally based in complete and utter fact, dude.
So. Yeah, that guy probably did a lot of research. I would kind of like to read the Da Vinci Code.
I think that's too high a price to pay.
Yeah.
I think you'd be better off reading Holy Blood, Holy Grail.
What's that?
It was the nonfiction book that the Da Vinci Code took most of the ideas from.
Huh.
So, like, you know, it's not necessarily a scholarly work. It's kind of like the books where they talk about how aliens built the pyramids, and you can totally tell because this engraving looks like a spaceship, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it doesn't try to build a narrative. It just the samples that I've read of how Dan Brown writes. Like,
so it's a book for, like, a cab driver to read. And exactly. Then talk to you about while you're in the back of his cab.
Exactly. Oh, that's right, you did have that crazy dude who was talking all about
giants.
You want
to see a picture of a giant?
Yeah.
It was kind of my fault for engaging him. By saying, oh yeah, there was that part in the Bible where they were like, and the lands east where the half-giants dwelt. And he was like, yes! He got all excited because he thought I was one of the true believers.
Oops.
East of Eden. That's where the half-giants dwelt. Where the hell did they come from?
And James Dean. Well, there's this empty space in between Cain and Abel being born and, like, a whole bunch of the rest of the Earth being populated.
Mm-hmm.
I think my dad tried to claim that there were other kids that Adam had that went off and had other kids that weren't listed in the genealogy because they weren't as important.
Yeah, because that genealogy, the one thing that it had going for it was that it was not particularly comprehensive.
Right. I mean, you would think if you were starting with the first guy in the whole world, you would pretty much pick everybody up, but no. Yeah, like it's like when Cain says, if I go out into the world, people will know that I killed my brother and they'll kill me. And to, like, who? There's nobody else out there, according to the Bible. But according to my father, that's not any kind of plot hole. Just there are other
people. There are other people out there, according to the Bible, right? Because Cain went and found a wife.
Right. And we're just not told where...
Maybe he made her out of dirt.
Probably. His wife was a dreidel. He made her out of clay.
Yes.
And when she was dry and ready, they had 800 dozen kids.
He wanted to simulate the experience of a real woman, so he just made a dreidel with a vagina on one side and the word just no on the other three sides.
Or just none.
Yeah.
I mean, you could still use that.
That's how much you're getting tonight.
The sons of God saw the daughters of men and gave birth to giants. So there's the theology I was taught is that some fallen angels went and had sex with some human women, and that's where the giants came from. But that could also totally be a reference to aliens, dude.
Wait, did they have sex with human women? Where did those human women come from?
The gap in Adam's genealogy where he had, like, 50 kids and they all went out and had more kids and everybody had sex with each other. But they didn't turn out retarded because God was watching to make sure there weren't any genetic defects. Some people just don't understand theology.
It is kind of weird to me. Well, no, it's not. I was going to say, it's weird to me that there is a significant portion of the population that, like, acknowledges even a possibility of the Bible as literal truth, but, like, there's a significant proportion of the population that believes that vaccinations cause autism.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not surprised by anything. It's Jenny McCarthy's fault, all of it. Like, the Crusades, totally Jenny McCarthy's fault. The Salem witch trials, totally Jenny McCarthy's fault. The Holocaust, totally Jenny McCarthy's fault.
What Holocaust?
Oh! Just because it's in a book doesn't mean it's true, unless that book is the Bible.
Yeah, I don't see anything in the Bible about the Holocaust. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses used to tell me that they don't celebrate birthdays because it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that you should celebrate birthdays. And I would always ask them if they used, you know, back in the day, I would ask them if they used an answering machine.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah. some of the hardest core ones don't, right? Like, there are sects of the Jehovah's Witnesses that won't use any, that are almost like Mennonite. They won't use any device that was not mentioned in the Bible. But, I don't know. You know, I mean, I've always at least, like, all of the Jehovah's Witnesses that I've ever met have been really, really nice. So it's hard to harsh on them too much. And, like, B, they at least act like they, you know, they both claim to believe that the Bible is literal truth, and then they also act as though they believe it.
Right.
You know? Which, you know, is weird and crazy, but at the same time, it's consistent. You know, at least they are walking the walk. I see a lot of references. I have always been under the impression that one might talk the talk, but the question is, do they walk the walk? But what I've seen a lot of lately is people walking the talk, and what the fuck does that mean?
Right. That means you... I know what they're trying to say, but, yeah, that's awkward.
Yeah, I was reading something about, I don't know, some article about grammar or something, and I don't really remember anything about it, so I'm not sure why I brought it up. This has been Storytime with Zach.
With who?
I'm sorry, with Jick. They, it was about some phrases, and it was like somebody saying, like, yeah, yeah, I get it, language changes, but that doesn't mean that some shit isn't just wrong.
Well, I could care less about that.
Yeah, it was railing against things like, for all intensive purposes.
Right.
Which, you know, it, I guess it bothers me when there are idioms whose words are actually literally applicable to the thing that you're talking about. Mm. You know, the idiomatic phrases that also just mean something, and they get replaced with misheard idiomatic phrases that don't mean anything anymore.
Right.
And that, and then that's just okay.
There was a guy who, instead of saying let alone something, you know, like, well, I'm not even a Mormon, let alone a polygamist, he would say little lone, as in small and by itself. And didn't seem to compute when I explained that to him, and how that he was doing some writing for me for a website I had long, long ago. It's like, dude, it's let alone, you know, not even this, let alone this. And yeah, did not compute.
Which is, you know, sort of to say nothing of.
Yeah.
X.
Yeah, let it alone. Not, it's little and by itself. But, you know, if you don't read and you don't understand what that statement is to begin with, you just know when to use it, then.
Yeah, but my argument would be, and I think any writer's argument would be, if you don't read, don't write. Right. You know? Like, don't write stuff that other people, that you expect other people to read. My dad told me this story about a girl that worked in the office that he worked in who spelled cul-de-sac cual-the-sack.
Cul-de-sac.
Which, you know, cul-de-sac is a French loanword that doesn't mean anything to us, right? And it's just one of those things, like, is that important? I mean, yes, because I feel like there's at least a significant, not a significant, there is a portion of the population that's going to read that and think, oh, God. You know, and then that's their impression of you from reading the thing that you wrote. And it's like if somebody uses lay and lie incorrectly, or nonplussed. I'm trying to think of the things that we've fucked up for reals that other grammar curmudgeons would yell at us about.
I think I've managed to kind of smash it into everybody's brains on staff that nothing is ever just laying around or just laying there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I feel like I know that now because you just told me, but 10 minutes from now when I go to write something, I'll forget. By the way, I'm going to be writing things during the radio show.
Excellent.
Thinking of writing cool tapes on the wall. I was so stressed out by you not being on the, you not being around when your power went out that I drank my entire beer, and now I don't have any beer.
Wow, you drank an entire beer in 10 minutes?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was drinking it to begin with, and then I've been drinking it right since then. You've been playing any video games or reading any movies or looking at any books on shelves?
I don't have any, nothing new. Played some more Scott Pilgrim.
Is that maintaining your interest?
Oh, yeah. It's fun to play.
Nightmare's been in town, and he's been playing fucking Castle Crashers again. They've just been, like, level grinding in Castle Crashers.
Huh. I haven't played even a second of Castle Crashers. All I would like you to know that there is a kitty.
There is a what?
It's actually a dog. On my calendar. Yeah, there's a minor domestic crisis involving there not being any diapers and whatnot, so he's going to co-host for like a minute and a half here.
Okay. Is he gonna tell us what different animals are called?
I think so. Hey, Ollie, what does a kitty say?
Ollie, exactly. What does the computer say? It says, murder your father in his sleep. Murder your father in his sleep.
There's a bear up there, yeah.
He knows how to do it. Mm-hmm. He's going to be like that kid in Pet Cemetery.
There's Wally.
Ollie,
yeah.
Get into Daddy's medical bag and find the scalpel. Pull out the scalpel, use it to slice Daddy across the back of his ankle, That's where Daddy's Achilles tendon is. This will make it so Daddy can no longer outrun you.
Actually, when you said murder your father, he said bear. You know, there's not a bear in here. He was just thinking of how he's going to lure the bear into the house.
Yeah, he's going to use the bear as a murder weapon so that no one will blame him. He's a clever kid. Good boy, Ollie.
He's diabolical.
Dumb.
No, you can't
dumb.
You can't get
You're
down.
Not dumb, Ollie.
You're kind of naked.
Did you say naked?
Yeah.
Why don't you do that thing that Jason Rohrer does where you, this is a game design topic, why don't you act like Jason Rohrer and just hang your kid over a bush when it's time for him to shit? And then you'll have a bush in your front yard that's completely covered in baby shit.
I have a friend who did that whole thing where you like,
yeah,
you cue your baby to poop by making a certain noise at them every time they do poop, and then you kind of reverse the causality.
Yeah.
And it's fucking creepy. And also,
you think it's like, creepy? I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's we've had this conversation before on the radio, I think. But like, I feel like that's just how it's done in Asia.
Sure.
And I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, it doesn't seem any weirder than diapers to me. Like, objectively, you know, I mean, I grew up around diapers. Literally, I grew up my family owned a diaper factory. It was weird. If they still had that diaper factory, we could solve your diaper problem post-haste.
Yep. All of the diapers were in the car. So he was in the bathtub upstairs with my wife watching him, and he pooped in the bathtub.
Is your wife some kind of pervert child pornographer?
Keeping him from drowning upstairs, we'll say.
What?
I know he's got to learn about drowning sometime. But, yeah.
He doesn't learn it from you. He'll just learn it on the streets of Venice.
So he pooped in the bathtub, so had to be removed from the bathtub post-haste, and then there were no diapers because the diapers are all in the car because we bought new diapers today. And yeah, so she had to go get the diapers. So sorry about the brief co-hosting there. But
no, I mean, it was okay. I think we had an entertaining exchange. Although I'm not sure Ollie knew that he was talking to me. I feel like this. Boy, 2 days from now, Mr. Skullhead, you and I will be in one another's loving arms again.
It's true.
Do you think your baby can come to a barbecue?
I think so.
So I'll get to meet your baby for the first time as like a real person who thinks and talks. He thinks things like kitty and bear. Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, he does his entire alphabet in numbers up to 11. I was kind of proud that he learned 1 through 10 and then picked up 11 and then just stopped.
Nice.
That is my child.
Get him up to 23 next year, 37 the following year, 69 the year after that.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be like first grade, though. He should be able to count higher than 69 by first grade.
And then we'll just say there are no other numbers.
He needs to learn how to count up to at least 187 so that he can kill some cops. Why am I trying to turn your son into a murderer, Mr. Skullhead?
I'm not sure. I think you may be a sociopath.
That I may be a sociopath?
Yeah.
Huh. You don't think that he's a sociopath and he just makes other people want to turn him into a murderer?
He may be a carrier of sociopathy.
So you're still enjoying the Scott Pilgrim game?
Indeed. Yeah. We've played it through Roxy Richter.
I feel like it had nothing to teach me. Because it was like I already played River City Ransom. And it was better when it was River City Ransom.
I mean,
I don't know. What do you think it does right?
What it has is another way for me to go through the Scott Pilgrim story, I guess.
I see.
And, it is a retread. Like, I could just be playing a ROM of the Ninja Turtles game. But I think that it has... Like, I haven't encountered a beat-em-up that has that RPG element to it.
It's because you never played River City Ransom on the NES.
So, you know, if you haven't seen it before, it's new to you.
Sure.
River City
Ransom is good, but it had the same sort of issue that the Scott Pilgrim game has, which it drives me kind of crazy that there are all of these foods and things that you can buy, and they all do different things to your stats, and it doesn't tell you what they're going to do.
Until after.
That was the thing that drove me nuts about River City Ransom and made it so I only really played it after there was a FAQ.
Huh. I just eat one of everything. and see what happens. Because none of the ones that I've seen in Scott Pilgrim do anything bad to you.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you know, it's like just a wasting.
What'll happen is there'll be one thing that gives you, you know, 50 of a stat for a dollar, and another thing that gives you 5 of the stat for a dollar. Right? Like, yeah. the value of them doesn't seem to be commensurate with how much they cost, and I could never afford everything. I mean, granted, I only played through one level, right? I didn't do any back farming or whatever.
And it's been fun, and it may just be that I don't have a broad experience in games that are better than it, but it has been fun. It's been like, it was like 2-3 hour marathons that we've played it so far.
Right. That's pretty fast. We're in a marathon in 3 hours.
Yeah, we played that game for 26 miles.
I have no idea how long a marathon takes.
Well, 26 miles. It takes you like 10 minutes to run a mile, right? So like 4 hours, right?
I think about how long it would take me to run 26 miles, and I think, marathons take about 6 months.
Right.
But clearly they don't. Because how could people run multiple marathons? Ugh, man. After finding out that, like, serious runners have that, like, shit happen to their toenails all the time that happened to my toenail after I hiked in the Grand Canyon, that makes me even less likely to ever run on purpose anywhere ever.
Right.
Because screw that, man. That was awful.
I'm thinking of having my big toe nail removed.
What is that?
I know that that's a thing. It's just constantly in a state of getting ingrown. Or
ew.
So, I could either have no toenail, or I could have I could just continue to have searing pain anytime somebody steps near my big toe.
But you'll never get to any money as a foot model if you don't have a big toe nail.
That's true. Unless I'm modeling something that's like a toe ring for your like third.
Wouldn't you want all of your toenails removed if you were going to get just the, like, it seems like it'd be weird to get just the big ones removed.
No, I'm good with just the one, I think.
Would you get both of them? Both the left and right big toenail, or just the one that you have a problem with?
Both of them tend to be problematic.
Wow, because I wouldn't want asymmetric feet.
Yeah.
I have a hard enough time with the fact that some of my toes are bigger than others. I was thinking about having my big toe removed completely, but then I remembered that I wouldn't be able to stand up because I would drink so much trying to forget my horrible decision to remove my toes that I would always be falling down drunk.
Right.
Like I'm not already always falling down drunk. I've been playing a little bit of World of Warcraft, which is exciting to you and everyone else.
Yeah,
you'll be happy to know that the game involves a lot less running from place to place. I know that was your big reason for thinking that it was lame to begin with.
Yeah, the 30 minutes of World of Warcraft that I watched being played
was 10 minutes of killing shit and 20 minutes of running.
If that, yeah.
The running was through a pretty world. Mm. It's very pretty. It's still pretty. I don't care what people say about the graphics. Good art direction trumps polygon count any day of the week. Like Monday, for instance. Or Tuesday. Any day. Wow, somebody says the world record for running marathons is 2 hours. Badasa Niwi says that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Also said that he never realized that it was expatriate, E-X-P-A-T-R-I-A-T-E, instead of expatriate, P-A-T-R-I-O-T. I think that I also thought that I knew that it was expatriate, but I had it in my head as, like, you know, one who is no longer a patriot.
One who's no longer patriotic, kind of?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, which I guess it does kind of mean that.
Yeah, you could still love America and live somewhere else. Maybe you could have a long-distance relationship with America.
That's always weird, though.
Yeah.
You always end up, you know,
having
wishing
you
had citizenship
America.
Somewhere else. Having sex with the ground. And getting in trouble for it.
You can get in trouble for that? Oh.
It's weird. Yeah, well, what about movies?
The only movie I saw was Scott Pilgrim again.
I also saw it again. Yeah. I mean, not like a third time, but I did go and see it twice. It was worth watching twice. I don't know that I would buy it. I don't know that I would, like, watch it again in 10 years.
I plan on buying it. I'll watch it again when it comes out on DVD, and it may turn into one of those that just gets thrown in of an evening. I'm also hoping for there to be some deleted scenes and whatnot. Because when you have something that's such a box office smash, they're really going to go all out on the DVD.
Yeah. I feel like when they're making movies now, they're already planning on what is going to be on the special edition DVD.
Sure.
So there probably is a bunch of additional stuff in there. Did it at least make back what it cost?
No.
Or is that it didn't?
It did like $40 million in business and cost $60 million.
And that was without the marketing?
Yeah.
See that thing on Cracked about why Hollywood shouldn't give nerds what they want?
Yeah.
Talking about all the movies that nerds were really enthusiastic about and what happened to them at the box office, and then how well Indiana Jones 4 did. Although, you know, that movie was not that bad.
Right, but it was true that there was lots of mouth frothing from nerds.
There was.
This is going to be terrible, and we're not going to go watch this. It's bullshit. And then, yeah.
I'm guilty of that with the Neutron. It's going to be terrible.
The Neutron?
Yeah. Like the Neutron Dance by Donna Summer.
It tends to be terrible, yeah.
Wait, is that Donna Summer or is it the Pointer Sisters? Or are Donna Summer and the Pointer Sisters the same people?
I don't know. No, because then her name would be Donna Pointer.
What? Maybe Summer's her middle name.
I think Danger is her middle name. Because she will survive, even though she gets into a lot of dangerous situations.
Neutron Dance is by the Pointer Sisters. And there is no... Donna Summer has nothing to do with the Pointer Sisters.
Okay.
What did Donna Summer do?
She did a bunch of disco songs. A bunch of them.
Huh. Oh, she works hard for the money. That's what I said. I feel like maybe my parents got that Donna Summer record and the Pointer Sisters record at the same time. And when I say record, kids, this was back in the day when people actually had records. Not like a record for YouTubing your tool-assisted speed run of Metroid Zero Mission.
Yeah.
But like an LP, which stands for
Liquid Propane. Album.
Vinyl Cassette. Oh, boy. I don't think I have a functional record player in my house anymore, and I think the only functional cassette player that I have is in my car.
I no longer have a functional cassette player.
Oh, yeah?
One of these days I want to go down to the Goodwill and grab one and get a couple of the cassettes that I have that are never going to be on CD or MP3.
Ooh, get one of those old school ones that's like got a handle on it and great big toggle buttons.
Yeah.
On the other end, that'd be sweet. I don't know, man. I guess your car is new enough that it has a fancy input for your iPads.
No, that's the sad thing.
Wow, really? It doesn't have an auxiliary input?
No, because the lowest trim model of any car these days just has a CD player.
You're saying that the car that will get you the least amount of trim by virtue of you owning it?
Well, it's a Prius. It's not a sex wagon, really.
But I thought that hipster chicks wanted to bang you for taking care of the environment.
No, you have
in a way that was actually more expensive and probably not actually good for the environment.
Right. No, you have to be riding a bike to score with hipster chicks, and it's really hard to have sex in the backseat of a bike.
Especially a fixie. It's hard to do anything with a fixie.
True.
I've never actually ridden one. I can't even fucking imagine.
Now, is it that they don't have brakes at all, or that they have the back-pedaling brakes?
The Yeah, it's the backpedaling brakes. I mean, like you, in order to slow down, you have to sort of like exert pressure on that. Like when the bike is moving, the pedals are moving.
Yeah.
So yeah. Which I guess is exactly the same as like a BMX bike with the, and so you just slam on them and stop the action of the back in order to stop. But that seems like a bad idea. I don't know. You'd lose a lot of tread. I remember the shit I used to do on bicycles, and it freaks me out now. Like, just knowing that if I crashed a bicycle now, I would probably seriously hurt myself. Like, I would injure something, and then it would hurt for the rest of my life, wherever I sustained that injury. I watched this video today of a bunch of people almost getting hit by cars and shit.
Why did you do
just
that?
Just like, well, I don't know. It was linked to from Metafilter. And I was like, oh, okay, a video of a bunch of people narrowly avoiding death. And it was like, just this is a guy on a park bench. He almost got cancer just then, but the one cell of lung tissue did not actually mutate the way it could have. Man, if you knew everything, you'd see shit like that all the time. Mm. Must be weird to be God, man. He must just be flipping his shit literally all the time.
He's just stoned all the time.
Oh, that's, he has to in order to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's this sort of like constant influx of information. We should music.
All right, music will commence.
I'm going to get another beer.
Very well. We'll be back in 15 or so, kids. And we're back.
Hey.
Howdy. I was working one night in my office. And hello to you, John Linnell.
Hey. How's it going? I didn't know we had a special guest on this segment of the program.
I should do one of those things that wacky morning DJs used to do, where you take, ask a bunch of interview questions and take sound bites from songs and use them to answer the questions.
What have you been up to, Mr. Linnell? I was working all night in my office. Interesting.
What did you do after that? I went for a walk on a stalk of wheat.
I wasn't going to keep it going, because I couldn't think of anything.
I couldn't think of anything, but I didn't let it stop me.
Yeah. Hey, Beowulf is actually awake for the show this time! He had every confidence of being entertained, but I think that that's right. Since I actually made the radio show thread this time, we should actually go through those. The cooking changes, says Izvarka, were stated to be a work in progress in the thread title. What sorts of additional changes to the system are you contemplating? Well, I was going to reduce the turn yield of every food item by about 50%. Just kidding. I wasn't really going to do that.
This is not a nerf.
One thing that I was certainly considering nerfing, though, was... The semi-rare foods and boozes. It's going to make everybody real sad. The thing is, I feel like right now, those are the only foods or boozes. Like, those lunchboxes are the only food or booze that you would ever pull. And I think that they would still be the only food or booze that you would ever pull if they were half as good as they are now. Which, to me, says overshot the mark a little bit on those things. I don't know. I don't know if I'll do it. I don't know if it's a big deal. You know, I don't know if it's worth the ill will it would engender. I don't know if the ill will that anything engenders is even a real thing anymore. I just sit at home, staring at the wall, weeping, and then every once in a while I go and I work real hard for 2 days, and then go back to weeping.
I'm gonna get you a new deck of cards. Is the reason you keep playing Solitaire Till Dawn is there are only 51 cards in your deck?
Oh yeah, I never managed to make it unless the one missing card just happens to be like one of the aces is missing, which makes it really tricky. Manayacha Nichu says, "Are you ever going to bring back that one Bad Moon adventure that was retired when you revamped the Cove? You totally should. I don't remember what it was or what it did, but maybe I guess. I don't know. I forgot to put the semi rares in the new." The new versions of the Friars Zones, which I should probably put that back in, too. People talking about...
Koffel Belgarian says, stainless plexi brimstone outfits. All we need for those is for you to say, yes, those effects for the candies are good, and for then me to write them.
Yep, that's it. And that only has to be done before the next Halloween. Yep.
Are you prepared to say that?
Yeah. I still need to think about it, because okay. The effects that he proposed are really powerful, and I think they might potentially be broken-y. But okay. Maybe who cares? Maybe I don't know who cares. Maybe no one cares. You know, it's not like you're ever going to have an entire stainless plexi or brimstone outfit in a run. But, yeah, so it'll, you know, one of these days, maybe the Tuesday after con. Maybe that'll be the next Tuesday update. So Schlurp is asking some questions about delay. Basically what he wants to know is it all screwed up because some delay zones are missing? And the answer is yes, it is all screwed up because some delay zones are missing. And my plan was to fix that over the course of what I realize, even by my plan, which I felt was too ambitious, like 20 weeks. So, I don't know. At some point, it will make sense to just spread the totals out to where every delay notch has the same amount of putty in it. I was searching so desperately for a metaphor. Every individual unit of delay is the same number as every other unit. But we have not done that yet. We probably will after the next one, which is probably... I don't know what the next thing will be. But the next time a bunch of them would go away would be like probably the airship or the... although it's weird, because I feel like I'm going to get rid of delay in the airship, and then everybody will think that the airship sucks because everybody is totally happy with the airship now. Anyway, I think we came up with something that's totally narratively consistent and would also just... It would not change the whole "this will just eventually happen" for you if you're doing nothing but just adventure there. So it's like trying real hard to not make things more confusing for people who just like to click on stuff. That and the crypt are the next sort of targets in my head, but got a million other things to do before then. I think I'm going to make the executive decision that Uncle P's is going to go on hiatus for a couple of months, because that whole thing was meant to be a thing that freed us up to work on other stuff and more important stuff, and it ends up just taking up too much mind share. So we'll have to... I'm just going to stop myself from doing that until I can learn to scale shit back. I'm going to scale shit back mountain. Owen09 says, sent this into Radio Bugbear, but I might as well post it here as well. Any chance of a change in the layout of Hank's? Even making multiple drop-down menus for food, booze, accessories, etc. would make it more user-friendly, in my opinion. What I want to do, and I honestly, I don't know why this hasn't happened, and we keep talking about it, but the problem, I think, with a lot of stuff like this is that there are 100 times as many things to do as there is time to do them, and so we... in a given day, we'll come up with 20 things that we should do, and then we'll just do some stuff. And maybe it's one of those 20 things, and maybe it's one of the things that we came up with yesterday. But every day, 19 more things that we ought to do. You know, I think it would be probably just a few hours' work for C.D. Moyer to make the closet and Hank's both operate the way that the inventory does. Just look like inventory, but just with a different set of context menu things. And that was like... we were moving towards that with the right-click menu and then just sort of got distracted by something else the way that we always do. But yeah, I agree that that's a thing that ought to happen. Those interfaces were fine when there were only a few hundred items, but now it's absurd. I would, if you showed me from 5 years ago, from 7 years ago, the game now, I would just punch me in the dick over and over again. And not in like a sexy way.
You confuse
me. Hey, Jake, what's the deal with muscle signs? Says Casey Wiederman. What is up? Last time you mentioned that they were way overpowered, and a more likely solution than boosting mist and mock signs would be nerfing muscle signs. Any chance, say, mist signs could get bang potions instead? If that made any sense, I mean, I get why you want it, right? I mean, so basically, because the muscle sign lets you skip a section of the game that is terrible. and swinging in takes a lot of turns, it's always the one that you're going to pick, right? And so I think that maybe the thing to do is to make that not so terrible and, like, maybe not let... I don't know. I mean, I kind of want to redo the knoll anyway. I don't even remember how it works. It's not even spread out into multiple zones if you don't have the... if you're not muscle sign. So, yeah. I don't know. You know, I want to basically go through from the beginning of the game, starting with the tutorial, and just clean stuff up. That's what I want to do. And this whole cooking thing was the only thing stopping me from redoing the tutorial. And now, just, you know, getting my ducks in a row are the thing stopping me.
Getting the water off of the backs of the ducks in your barrel?
Yeah. Because you shouldn't shoot ducks in a barrel. You should get them out of the barrel, allow the water to go off their backs.
Which doesn't take long.
No. Because it happens like a hot knife through butter. Or a hot knife through a butter duck. Ray Janili says, when's the next Tuesday update? Tuesday?
Man, I wish I had butter ducks in my house.
Is that like a turducken? Butter turducken?
No, I was just thinking of, like, having hot and cold running butter. The cold would take a while to come out.
Yeah, that would be really gross, actually. I was going to say I had some cold butter yesterday because I ate some leftover Papa John's pizza, but that stuff has not seen butter in... it's been years since the garlic butter had anything to do with any butter.
Yeah, it's kind of like the topping that goes on movie theater popcorn.
The theater that I go to, it's actual butter now.
Huh. I have come to prefer the taste of the oil. And even to relish the gastrointestinal cramps that come after a movie. Like, my movie-going ritual, like, I won't go to a movie if I can't get a large popcorn and eat the entire thing instead of having a meal and then be kind of sick to my stomach afterwards. That's just part of the experience. If I can't have that, I might as well.
Yeah, likewise. I will sometimes also get some candy.
True.
But I'll usually get I usually just get like a small popcorn and drown it in butter and get some candy and get a soda.
I get a soda too. The wife she gets a pretzel with cheese every time.
See, I like a pretzel with cheese, but I'm not going to buy it at the movie theater. Like, there's a million other places where you can get a pretzel with cheese cheaper than at the movie theater.
Right, but
there is no place that you can get popcorn with butter on it other than the movie theater.
Yeah, but it's kind of like her being allowed to, in her mind, have that as a meal. And also that means that I get to dip a couple of popcorn kernels in the cheese before she's done with it. And that's just quality eating right there.
The nachos at movie theater, yeah, I don't know, man. I'll occasionally get a hot dog or some nachos or any of the other things they have at the movies, but it's really all about the popcorn. I fucking love popcorn.
For me, it just dates back to when I was smoking pretty heavily and just needed to keep my mouth occupied for the entire movie so I didn't think about wanting a cigarette. So
you would just blow dudes, and then you thought, wait a minute, why don't I eat popcorn instead of blowing dudes?
Not instead, but it's similar. So, these days, even though I'm perfectly capable of sitting in a room doing nothing but watching something for a couple of hours, it's, you know, the habit's still there.
Stupak wrote into the thread after I said that, regarding the semi-rare consumables, they're not quite as crazy good as they were before. They're still really good, but they've been nerfed to the point where you'd rather pull air or a few other things conditionally. When were they nerfed? How were the semi-rare consumables ever nerfed? I mean... I haven't touched them since we implemented them, so I'm really curious as to where that perception comes from. Blue Scream says, any plans for Talk Like a Pirate Day? It's like, what is it, like on, right around con, right, or during con?
It's on the 19th, during con, yeah.
So it's Sunday?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember if we have the thing automatically triggering or not where Benarca drops from the pirates. We might. We're not going to be working on any new... limited time content for a while. We're not going to be doing a fucking thing until con is over, man. This is already... I've been so far up the LARP's ass the last 3 or 4 days.
Hmm.
It's going to be awesome. It's weird, man. I feel it's like this weird priority thing because, like, I'm like, why am I spending all day, every day, working on stuff that 30 people are going to see? It's like, ugh. You know, it's fun. I like doing it. And the people who are playing the LARP are having a lot of fun. But it's like I can't help but feel like, you know, this is a real strain on my sort of principle of make cool shit first. Think about the business realities of the situation later.
Right.
You know, if we could run the LARP more often, it'd be cool. I mean, I think more people would be into it if they understood what it was. I'm convinced of that. Because the word LARP turns a lot of people off. But, I don't know. At least one thing that I did here was, while I was working on the artwork for the monsters in the LARP, I did them all at KOL scale and blew them up. So there's like 60 new monster graphics that we could use for something in the future if we wanted to. That never fucking happens, though. Like, let's use one of these and then use that to give us the ideas for 5 other monsters that I'll draw, and then they don't really look like the first one, so I'll redraw that one too.
And there's a lot of despair in you. I sense sadness.
Yeah, I've been in a horrible mood lately. It'll change. Con will cheer me up.
Yeah, I'm sure that our KOL friend will bring us some more of those cookies.
Oh, that'd be sweet. I would be cheered right the fuck up. You know what he told me?
What did he tell you?
He said that those cookies were a third the strength of the ones that he makes for himself.
Wow. See, what I figured was not that it would cheer you up to consume one, but to watch other people go, oh, sweet, I'm going to eat one of these, and it's going to be awesome, and then spend the entire night staring at the wall praying for death.
I'll be happy that I didn't do that, is what you're saying?
Yeah, and you'll feel some Schadenfreude.
I'm gonna have fun. We're gonna swim in a pool and talk about Crimbo, because that's what we do. I always get inspired on Crimbo stuff when I'm looking at Scully's boobs.
I think that they might be a little smaller than they were last year.
Sweet.
Yeah. But still not perky. I still have Holly Berry boobs.
Oh, I see. They were nerfed by the milk change.
Right. I think we need to come up with another way to say that something is nerfed because something else changed. That we think of as unrelated.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess I knew that something changed about them. I suppose that the milk change did alter the relative. I mean, because that was what it was intended to do, was alter the relative standings of foods to one another.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, before, because of the goofy ways in which the math worked, there were things that were like, all right, if without milk, this food is better than this food, with milk, it's reversed.
Hmm.
Yeah, who knows? So they ended up with exactly the same average adventures per box as canned air, which is still probably too good for what it is. Yar says, oh yeah, you've said before that NS15 won't ever happen. Do you stand by this? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think it would be impossible for us to come up with something that filled the even larger gaps between levels 13 and 14 and 14 and 15 with something that was, you know, fun and repeatable. Like...
Yeah, I stand by my statement that not the NS13 taught us that we should expand the game sideways instead of up and down. Or in optional ways rather than required ways for ascension. And that, you know, I'm not saying that NS13 was a mistake, because I do think that it made the game a fundamentally better game, but the perception that some people had of it made it so it kind of killed our joy for doing any more of that.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely go about it. I don't think that it was a mistake, but I think it involved a lot of mistakes. Yeah, definitely no NS15. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited about the stuff that we're talking about and thinking about and doing. I'm excited about the new tutorial stuff. I'm excited about some more sort of early game simplification and revamping. I'm trying to figure out ways to do it that won't, like, you know, we're freed up to do some interesting stuff now that cooking doesn't cost a turn. Like, we can, you know, when I was, for instance, today doing a daily cooking quest in the city of Dalaran, floating high above the Crystal Song Forest, which I had to get my fix, man. I logged on to play like 5 minutes of World of Warcraft before the radio show. But I was thinking, well, so here's the thing where every day you go to this guy and he's like, hey, help me cook this thing. And then you cook it. And then he's like, cool, here's some things that you can use to buy recipes to cook other things. Or here, I've given you a bag of goodies for helping me cook. And this contains a recipe that teaches you how to cook a new thing. And I was like, this is fun. This is fun. And I like doing this. And we should totally do something like that in KOL. And now we totally can. Mm. You know, like, if... I mean, it wouldn't, like... trying to balance it, trying to make it so it's something that would be interesting for a new player, teach them about cooking and cocktail crafting stuff, but just not impact the Ascension game at all. And I came up with a thing that I think might work. Hmm. There's a guy that you can talk to, and he says, hey, I need you to help me make some fart soup. I've got the farts, but I need some soup bowls, and I need a special kind of soup bowl that you can only get in the sleazy back alley. And so then you'd go and adventure in the sleazy back alley for X number of turns, and then you'd make the fart soup, and then he would give you something that would let you then cook something that gave you 2x turns. All right? So nobody would ever do that because they're getting some turns. They're getting more turns than it costs, but they're getting them at the expense of something they would be using, you know, specifically fullness, that they would be using in better ways than whatever they got. And I think it would actually be fart soup. It would be cooking with farts and making a fart, gin and farts. Mm. It would be a Leptomane would be the NPC that gave you that quest. But what I was thinking was, you know, he could just say, like, oh, by the way, have you tried mixing a lemon with some tequila? You know, and then it just maybe gives you a discovery early on for something simple like that, right? Like, that would be a thing that would showcase to new people the sort of breadth of the systems that we've got in place without, like, scaring them.
Right.
You know? And now that you can do it, now that it's not like, oh, well, if you're going to cook stuff, you need to get 1,000 meat, which you probably won't get until like the third or fourth day that you're playing if you don't know what you're doing, which you don't because it's your second day. Or your first day, or whatever. Anyway, so I'm, you know, that was a thing. I was like, what else can I rip off from World of Warcraft? I don't know. I should play it more and see.
I'm actually doing another multi that I'm putting through a first time run and seeing what happens.
Taking notes.
Yeah, because it's been long enough since I played a lot of that early stuff that I really don't remember exactly how to do it. So, like, going through the tutorial quest, I was like, okay, I officially apologize to everyone when I said that the tutorial quest was fine.
I mean, it's messy and irrelevant. I mean,
it's a lot of clicks and it focuses a whole lot on the hermit, which is a mechanic that you use twice.
Yeah, and I think that what I might do is get rid of the hermit part of him. And because, so I feel like stuff like going into town and buying something, that could easily be folded into some minor optional quest that you can get from a dude on the wrong side of the tracks or whatever after the tutorial, right? Like, hey, would you mind running over to the armory and leggery and buying me the fucking sword or whatever, right?
The fucking sword.
Yeah, buy me the fucking sword. And, you know, or whatever, right? Like, whatever particular NPC store we want to introduce people to. But, like, I would almost change everything in the normal quest progression so that you no longer have to go to the hermit.
That's funny. That was exactly what was in my notes.
You know, because I don't know that it's, like, when it was one of five things, it was a thing that you would think of and do, right? But it's like, what are we really adding by making you go to the hermit to get rims? I mean, what we're adding is, like, player count minus minus because that's where everyone gets stuck. And if that's where everyone gets stuck, like, we're doing it wrong, yeah. right? I feel like there was always this attitude, well, this is a game for smart people or people who explore or people who look at spoilers, right? And I think that it's a little harder to justify that. You know, for, like, Rift's crazy shit, Hermit, all you want. Right? But for the actual core of it that you need in order to progress, like, I think I would be entirely fine with just rejiggering things a little bit so that the Hermit was not a part of that progression.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, well, you know, we need to introduce people to meat pasting because that is fun, right? Like, pasting two items together and getting a new item is fun. Going to the Hermit through this laborious process of digging something out of the sewer and having to remember all that I don't think is fun. Right, it's just like a series of tasks that you have to perform with no discovery element. You get no feedback using the sewer as to whether you're doing the right thing or not.
Right.
And, you know, just kind of a mess. You know, and so I thought, well, okay, so we'll do a thing where Harold is an NPC that's out next to wherever his shit is. You know, maybe we move him or whatever. And he gives you a quest to go in and find the bits of his hammer. And then when you take him back to him, he's like, oh, I'm out of meat paste. You know, and then it just explicitly spells out, like, move that part of the tutorial there. And then I was like, well, so how do we deal with the Hermit part? And that was my instinct was just get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, just have it be a thing that you discover if you need to, or a thing that the guild people can tell you about. It's fine for there to be confusing, tricky puzzles, but they just shouldn't be core. You shouldn't need them in order to get to the game.
Or if they're actual puzzles, you know. In a way that the Hermit is not, especially since the tutorial tells you that you should go there and tells you exactly how to do it.
Then it's like a remembering. It's yeah. like a remembering things puzzle.
And then it's also just kind of a, like you said, it's a series of tasks. Click here, now click here. And for a little of it, it's click on tutorial, go click over there a couple of times, go back to click on tutorial, he'll send you back to the town. So you keep... He bounces you back and forth a couple of times.
I mean, some of that. We need for him to bounce you around because we need for him to show you where things are, right? A thing that I think would make the tutorial a lot more approachable, and a thing that I am absolutely going to do, is an indication in the left pane of what you're supposed to be doing.
Ooh, yeah.
Right, and I think for regular players, I would probably turn that on for a lot of the early quests and fold stuff into them. I mean, it'd be a matter of just adding a line in a lot of cases to the existing quest spindler that we've got. That's just, what does this say to do in the left pane in the like next task thing?
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, it's going to be something that people scream at us. People would scream at us if they couldn't turn it off, but like. You know, if you create a character and you miss the event notification on the main page, you just have no idea where you're supposed to go. But if it just said on the left side, tutorial, : go visit the tutorial in the Big Mountains, and maybe Big Mountains is a link to the Big Mountains, you know? I think that makes that a great deal friendlier.
Yeah.
People are going to want the ability to play through the tutorial to see what it looks like, and, you know, I'd probably see no reason not to give them that.
We should also make the food that you get with the tutorial the best food in the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that you can redo the tutorial in-game and run. Yeah. No, I have faith in our ability to stop that from being broken.
Right.
Rotting Flesh says, please make the ketchup hound into a familiar. I don't want to. Twitter that I want to respond to.
That's probably worth revisiting.
The way that quest works?
The Pagoda quest, because it is, you know, it was written for a different game.
So somebody sent in a picture of a rock climbing route that was apparently built on the inside of like a missile silo or a smokestack or something.
That's kind of cool.
Oops. It was cool. I guess there wasn't really anything. Legom7 suggests for asking suggestions from KOLers for names for the new game.
I'm thinking we're going to call it OMG Techlitera.
Yeah.
And then
the thing is, I am not so dissatisfied with Word Realms. And one of the reasons that I'm not so dissatisfied with Word Realms is that we own WordRealms.com, right? And that was like the first thing that was anything like a normal thing. I want a name that tells you that it is a word game, but doesn't make it sound like edutainment.
Right.
You know, so like Riff the other day suggested, how about Math Wizards? Which I think is a funny suggestion, but he wasn't being serious about it, right? Like, you know, like Grammar World. Like, oh boy, I want to play that shit.
Noun of verbia.
Yeah, that's...
Verb of
noun. We tried, man. We tried to come up with like just the fake name of a world that sounded kind of like it had lex or verb in it, but like just nothing. Nothing. Yeah. Something. It needs to be something short that we can get the .com. And I think it's fine. You know, the initial single player release, I think, can just have a subtitle, Word Realms : The Farts of Destiny or whatever.
Right.
Now I kind of want to actually make it The Farts of Destiny. And then, you know, later on it becomes Word Realms World. World of Word Realms.
Word World.
I don't know. You know, the thing is, the only time that I've ever successfully named a project, it was by naming it something when I didn't think that it was anything that I gave a shit about.
Right.
And as it turns out, kind of a terrible name. You know, and we don't care because that's just what it's called, and that will eventually happen with Word Realms. That'll just be what it's called.
I disagree that Word Realms is hard to say.
Word Realms? Yeah.
It's no energy drink.
Energy drink?
Energy.
Do you think that energy drink is hard to say?
Energy drink.
Energy drink. Beowulf says, any hints as to what the sea will be like in its finished form? Yes.
A lot
there will
like
be...
What it is now. What? A lot like what it is now.
Yeah, we're done.
With more stuff.
Yeah, there'll be a sort of culmination, a couple of quests. They're like a sort of a branch where you can go and fight one of two bosses, and each of them will have a stainless or plexi level outfit, and that's it. You know, there'll be some more crafting stuff down there. We'll end up making it friendlier in the beginning, at least. We'll make it so you will want to redo the old man quest every time. We'll make the maps a little cheaper. It'll end up, and you know, people who are still feeling a little butthurt about the sushi mat change, and I, you know what, I shouldn't say butthurt because that implies that it is unjustified. And the angst that people who bought a sushi mat last week or last month or last year felt about, you know, the way that I changed it is totally understandable, and I get it. I get why you're mad about that, but I promise you that it is not going to be a big deal in the fullness of time. It will end up being cheaper for you to do it every time than... I mean, I guess it won't be cheaper for you to do it every time than to do nothing at all, right? But that ship has sailed. So, yeah, it's going to be fine. But yeah, you know, the it'll be another thing for completionists to want to do a class cycle of, or two class cycles of, and that's it. That's where it's going. And we've already, like, almost all the art is done for all of it, and there's a few mechanical things. There's still some writing left.
Most of the writing is done, too. Most of the writing is done, though. If I'm thinking.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that has been written but not coded yet, and so when I look at it, I think, oh, there's this writing missing, but then I remember, oh, wait, no, it's not. It's totally in this thread in our internal wiki. It is still several weeks of work, though. Like, it's going to need some balancing, and we haven't, like, so all of the zones are done, and all of the quests across them are done, but, like, nothing has any drops, and we haven't done anything with all of the, like, grandma crafting stuff. Grandma crafting is the new trade skill. You make things out of grandmas.
World of Grandma Craft.
Yeah. So, yeah, there is still a great deal of work that has to be done, and I guess the you know, figuring out how much is going to be going on in the sort of like big final area whether it's just going to be like a handful of things that you can click on, or whether it's going to be a handful of zones for you to adventure in. There's some of that. We might end up going back and making some changes to the way some of the earlier Sea Monkey quests work too, because right now I feel like it is, the amount of time that it takes you is just entirely related to how much meat you're willing to spend buffing up for it. So, you know, some of the stuff that's just regular non-combats, we might do the thing we do where we get rid of the long tail on it. You know, we might alter some of the quests so that they're no longer just finding a series of non-combats, because there's a tremendous amount of that down there. That's just how a lot of that stuff works. And, you know, it might be worth changing that up a little bit. Colby Invincible says, can we get a KOL for Android? Well, you could run a browser on Android and play it. Silly, do you have an Android device now?
I do not.
Okay. The more I mess with people's Android phones, the more I just hate it. And the more I become convinced that the iPhone is just fucking amazing. Because when I got this and I wanted to send somebody a text message, I immediately figured out how to send somebody a fucking text message and just send it to them. And like, I've had a couple of times in the last couple of weeks when somebody has handed me an Android phone and said, hey, could you text somebody whatever while I'm driving or whatever, or while I'm in the bathroom? And like, by the time we get to where we're going or they get back from the bathroom, I have not been able to figure out where the fuck you go in these things, all of which are totally different than all of the others, to send a fucking text message.
You know, as much as I rage against the iPhone, I think that the Droid phones are for people who just don't want to have an iPhone because fuck that. Not, I don't want to have an iPhone because they're inferior to these other products.
I mean, I get that. So I feel like 10 years ago, I would have been super good. Well, I mean, let's say right now I was 10 years younger. I'm the guy that I was 10 years ago. I would have been super gung-ho about Android because I would have been like, you know, this is so much easier for me to develop software for my phone, and I can, you know, do all kinds of, I can run a fucking Nintendo emulator and just download whatever I want and use it as an external hard drive and just do everything. But, like, now, I kind of just want to fucking maybe call somebody and have it work. You know?
Right.
And, like, I've been reading this book, which is weird. Zuban from Kill 10 Rats has also been reading this book, and I feel like we both must have read the same blog post somewhere and then both ordered and started reading this book, but it's called The Design of Everyday Things by this psychologist. And he just talked about, like, trying to get people over the notion that, like, if you pull on a door that's supposed to be pushed, you shouldn't feel embarrassed and stupid because it is totally the door's fault when that happens.
Huh.
And that there are certain doors that nobody ever fucks up, and it's because those doors are well designed. And he gets into a lot of, you know, he goes into a lot more detail than needs to happen. But I just read this chapter that was about, it was like a Lego police motorcycle that he had, and he was like, I showed this to like 20 people. I just handed them all of the pieces, and they all put it together correctly. And he just talked about sort of the different constraints, the different, like, the ways in which the pieces made it clear to you where they go, the ways in which social constraints made it clear to you that, like, you know, this thing with words on it should be right side up, you know, the guy on the motorcycle should be facing forward, his head goes on at the top of where his arms meet, that kind of thing. You know, it was interesting. And I've been thinking about stuff like that, just like, you know, in interfaces and things like that. And, like, the iPhone is just, to unlock the iPhone, and I messed with this, there are a bunch of different buttons. Hitting any of them takes you to a point where you can only do one thing. And the one thing that you can do is slide to unlock. And it says slide to unlock.
Right.
And, like, everyone figures that out immediately. And then once you've done that, it takes you to, this is the one thing, it takes you to whatever screen you were on when you last locked the phone. So you could potentially be in any number of places where any number of things are possible or whatever. But it's just, like, their tight control over the apps both limits people's creative freedom and totally is, like, you know, the man says what you can and can't see, but it also just makes it so everything works and everyone can use everything.
Sure.
You know? That's, anyway, that's, that would, yeah, yes, Colby Invincible, you can get a KOL for Android, right at your damn self, because I hate that bullshit. You know, maybe someday.
I mean, our app for that is that we can pay somebody to do it if we choose to. So it's worth kicking around in the back of our skulls.
Yeah, I mean, I am waiting for somebody to prove me wrong. And the people that I'm waiting to prove me wrong are because everybody seems to think that we could just really easily make an interface for playing KOL on, say, the iPhone. And I just don't think so. And I gave Hot Stuff and CDM a budget to do it with, and it just nothing is, you know, it's another one of those things, like, this is a thing to do, but there are a billion other things to do in between now and then, and probably at some point I've yelled at both of them to work on something else. But I am not convinced that it is possible. Like, everybody was like, no, it's easy. You just do a thing where you have four tabs at the bottom and you just switch between the four things. But I don't think that that would work at all. I think that would be absurdly unplayable. Way worse than just using it in a browser and zooming in using the native browser interfaces. But I don't know. You know, there is every possibility that I'm wrong. At the very least, a bunch of stuff about the way KOL works is going to have to change on our end, because, like, if you keep having to switch back and forth between, say, a fight and the character pane to see how many hit points you have left in the middle of a fight, that's bullshit.
Right,
so that, like, and I honestly feel like that was the first thing I thought of, but there are hundreds of other things like that that are going to have to be afforded for on our end, and it's just not nearly as straightforward as it could be. But, you know, we definitely should be doing something, so let's do something. Hot Dog with Ketchup says, also, well, he says, can you make the ketchup pound a familiar? Also, do you like ketchup on your hot dogs? I do not like ketchup on my hot dogs.
Huh. I was under the impression that you were an American.
I think I'm French, because I like French's American mustard on my hot dogs. Yeah, no. Riff was eating hot dogs today, and he had the buns all drowned in ketchup and mustard, and it was fucking gross.
So I've kind of grown out of yellow mustard and into the, you know, Grey Poupon kind of stuff.
Yeah, so has everybody else, apparently. I think that definitely has its place, but, like, so I feel like there are a whole bunch of different kinds of mustard, and plain old yellow mustard is one of those kinds, and it is very often the kind that I'm in the mood for.
And the only thing that that is absolutely necessary for hot dog eating for me is relish. It is not optional.
I can take or leave relish. Sweet relish, I don't. I'm more of a dill relish than a sweet relish guy. Putting ketchup on a hot dog, really putting ketchup on anything, is kind of akin to, like, putting chocolate syrup on it, to me.
Huh.
Like, you, who are all against pineapple and ham on pizzas because of the sweet and salty mixture, like, ketchup is sweet and French fries are salty.
Ketchup does not read as sweet for me.
Huh.
If somebody said, what is the flavor of ketchup, I would say, like, tomato? I don't know. But
I mean, it's to me, it's just kind of, like, vinegary and sugary. Like, I don't know that if I didn't know what ketchup was made of and you put some of it in my mouth, I don't know that I would identify it as a tomato product.
Huh. See, I also found out that the reason I didn't like Hawaiian pizza was that it was the only kind of pizza we got growing up was Domino's or Little Caesars. And for their Hawaiian pizza, they would use, like, the canned pineapple in syrup. So it's, you know, pretty much like pineapple-flavored candy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just way too sweet for that. But if you get, like, a fresh pineapple or a pineapple that wasn't, like, soaked in sugar and put it on there, yeah, it's pretty delicious.
Oh, well, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's good to know that that was just a misunderstanding, as opposed to you being a retard.
Mm. I still, any kind of syrup coming near any kind of other breakfast food that's not a pancake or a waffle, that shit is just wrong.
Yeah, and I also don't eat pancakes or waffles, really, so no syrup. No syrup here. Oh, man, that reminds me, I need to go shopping and get breakfast foods. I keep going down to eat breakfast and then realizing that I don't have any cereal or any eggs.
You're like, God damn it, I wanted to have cereal floating in a bowl of raw eggs, like I do every morning.
Yep. Oh, boy. R2 says, since Odaboo's now requires twice or four times as many casts per day, please consider cutting its MP cost in half. Now, it is still the most efficient way of converting MP to additional adventures. So, like, it's fine. I don't think it requires twice as many with a Rock and Roll Legend, because you get 20. You get 20 turns of it. Or maybe I'm thinking of the legendary one. I mean, we did it so that with the best accordion, you only need to cast it once per day. And with the most robust being a sorcerer-ness, you only have to drink one milk per day for an entire stomach or an entire liver's worth of food or booze. So it's fine. It's fine the way it is. Sai Pog says, can we please have a one-handed guitar? If you think that is illogical, Captain, how about turning the 4D guitar into a one-handed guitar? I feel like if we needed a one-handed guitar, that would be the way to do it. But do we need a one-handed guitar?
I think you could play a guitar one-handed. Like a little tiny one you could make. Say a tiny guitar that's tuned so that the strings are in a chord. Then you could just like do bar chords with your pointer finger and strum with your pinky.
Yeah.
Or you could just hammer on. Or hammer off.
You could.
We should answer.
We should get to this real quick. Pansla says, hey, Jick, does your mom take credit cards? I ask because of the con familiars and also because I am flying in a few days early and might be lonely. Ah-ha-ha. Pansla. So that's a question. So we are, I think, selling the con familiar, and I don't know if we should take credit cards for it or not. Because there is some distinct fraud potential because we can't. I want to give them out right away, right. But we can't run the credit cards right away unless we have some better technology than we actually have. Mm-hmm. The whole iPad thing didn't materialize. That Square thing, they just were like, oh, wait, sorry, we fucked up and can't actually do what we said we were going to do. We'll figure this out and send you your shit in a few months.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is. I mean, but it was, you know, it was like, this seems too good to be true, because what do they do about, like, chargebacks and shit? Like, that. This seems like their model is crazy, and then it turns out it was too good to be true. I think they underestimated the amount of fraud that exists in the world, and those of us in the trenches were like, oh yeah, fraud, that's a thing, it's everywhere. You know, we might be able to do a thing where we will credit the familiars to people after we run the credit cards, if people have to use a credit card for it. But we need to figure that out. We need to figure out the tech on our end for how we're going to do that. Because what I would like is for somebody to hand my mom $20 and for her to, like, type their player ID or player name into a thing, and then they get the familiar.
Right. Or to hand her $200 and the 10 player names that they want.
Sure. Or all them. I mean, the hatchling will be tradable, right?
Somebody was asking if we would be discouraging buying multiples of them, but that is kind of the point.
Yeah, the point of it is, yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah. Because if we weren't discouraging buying multiples, we could have just raised the price of con by $20 and been better off, you know. Because we know people like familiars, and we know people like, you know, aggressive profiteering. So, what better way to tap into both of those desires?
People like giving us money if we give them something in return.
Yep.
That's just business. It's kind of funny that I was going to say, okay, dude, we really should read this question, and you were saying that at the same time, and it was the same question.
Oh, I thought that you were going to say that it's time to get off the radio. That's why I stepped on you to...
I was like, dude, we really... No, dude, before you say what you're going to say, we have to answer this question. Well,
let's say okay. Let's say yes, she will take credit cards for the familiar, but you might not get it until the following day if you use a credit card.
If you use a cash, you will get it immediately.
It is my hope that if you use cash, you will get it immediately. We got to figure that out. Like, we were thinking about, we're trying to figure out ways. And again, I don't know why we have to be, because there's at least one person there that if my mom had a thing where she could type in a player name and give somebody the thing, that they would fucking go over to that thing while she was in the bathroom and rip us off.
Hmm.
Right? I'm not saying who that player is.
But on Mac.
We were thinking about a thing, like, we could write her a thing that she could have loaded on her iPhone, because my mom's super cool and has an iPhone.
My parents and both of my siblings have them.
Really?
Yep.
That is unexpected. I would not have expected your parents to get iPhones.
And, you know, my complaint is that, like, my little sister doesn't have any money at all to speak of and is constantly talking about how she doesn't have money, and then she goes out and fucking pays $400 for a phone.
I mean, that's why she doesn't have any money, is because she does things like that.
But that's something that I hear from a lot of people, like, yeah, you know, money's kind of tight, got my four kids, just got laid off from a job, check out my iPhone 4, brah! I just bought another iPad so I can make an iPad sandwich and enjoy the beautiful UI with whether I'm standing on one side of it or the other. Like, stop, you fucking middle class people spending $600 on tiny pieces of tech pisses me the fuck off.
Well, it fills the gaping void in their souls.
That's true.
I mean, that's the way that we're raised in this country. If the conspicuous consumption of consumer goods doesn't make you happy, then nothing can make you happy.
That's true. The thing is, to actually fill the gaping hole in your soul, you have to download the app. The soul hole.
And if you can't afford it. The initial outlay of it, you know, like $400 is not as much money as it used to be, right? It's like my car breaks down and it costs $400 to fix, and it's like, oh, that sucks. But it's like, you know, if I didn't have that $400 because I had spent it on a phone, my car wouldn't have broken down, right? Like, because the world is a device for taking away all of your money. But signing up for something that's $100 a month, you know, I have the cheapest plan because I don't use my phone very much, and it's still $100 a month, which is it's not a lot in the grand scheme of things, but I mean, I'm, you know, comfortably upper middle class, so it's like I can afford $100 a month for a phone that I also use for a lot of work stuff, right? And so it's like, nobody needs more than like a $40 cell phone plan unless they've got a problem.
It's weird to think that like people who were our age 20 years ago weren't paying $100 a month for, say, TV or internet access and $100 a month for a cell phone.
Yeah.
That was just, you know, if you had told them you're going to need $200 a month more just to be kind of average, I think that would have been very bizarre for people.
But I mean, average, our quality of life is arguably so much higher than theirs. I mean, because they couldn't just watch whatever the fuck movie they wanted whenever they wanted on a thing, on a computer that lived in their pocket.
Right.
You know, it's like the future's here and it's kind of expensive. Broadband internet just wasn't a thing, but we feel like we couldn't live without it.
Yeah, maybe that's the other thing I'm afraid of with the iPhone as well, is finding out all of the things that I can do with this, so now I need it.
Yep.
I don't know. And then I could be that guy who just sits and pokes his phone all day.
I only do it when I'm smoking cigars. Mm. So it was just time that I would be frittering away on frivolities like reading.
Like talking to me when I'm sitting next to you.
I don't pull out my phone and fuck with it while I'm sitting next to you, do I?
There were a couple of times where, like, well, clearly he's not in the mood for conversation. Like at Comic-Con, we're both sitting out on a balcony and both indulging our nicotine habits. And like, well, I'd like to talk to, you know, Jake about his hopes, dreams, plans for the future. I bought this ring, but, you know, he's very busy with something. And if I could see the screen, you were probably playing Plants vs. Zombies or something.
No, I didn't buy that for the phone. I was probably playing my fucking Words with Friends game that I can't stop playing.
See, and you missed out on having actual words with your physical friends.
I know, man. What have I done? Also, all my pets died, and my children were taken away by the county. All right. We should stop a show.
Probably. I feel like we've hit our stride, so let's...
Yeah, let's knock this shit off.
All right, guys. Well, next week is a live show.
Well, actually, Thursday, you'll be here, so maybe you and me and Riff and Hot Stuff can do a show Thursday night.
Ah. Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, we'll do... Monday, we'll probably just broadcast a recording of the live show from Saturday.
We're doing a live show on Saturday?
Yeah, at has Dan Bob not been telling you about this?
Nope.
Oh. We were just gonna do like an hour or maybe an hour and a half of live recording at the barbecue instead of like the certificates of participation or whatever, we'll sit at a table with microphones and answer questions from the audience.
Is Stupak going to be there so he can ask us about boxes?
He is.
Excellent.
I thought that both him and Darth were going to be there, and I thought that we could have them come up and we could do like a crossfire where people could come up and ask us questions and then the Diamond Radio questions, and we could try and yell louder than one another.
Oh, I thought you meant where we have guns and the audience has guns and they stand in the middle. I'm just kidding.
Stupak's a swell dude. You're going to like him.
Yeah. I like Stupak. And that's,
so you're going to like him even more when you meet him, because he's kind of a dreamboat.
Ooh.
And I know how much you like the gay dude loving.
Indeed.
Stupak is gay, by the way.
Oh, but that doesn't mean he can't have some gay dude. We'll just drink until he's gay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. We're going to call it. Good night, everybody.